This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Buddy Holly was a skinny kid with glasses, but in his short lifetime, he became one of rock and roll's founding fathers. He died in a 1959 plane crash at the age of 22. Holly, who was known for his Stratocaster guitar and trademark hiccup style of singing, influenced everyone from the Beatles to Bob Dylan. As part of a series on the NPR 100 Most Important American Musical Works of the 20th Century, WCPN's David C. Barnett has the story of one of Buddy Holly's biggest hits, Peggy Sue.
Before Buddy Holly became an international rock and roll star, he was a local hero in Lubbock, Texas. That's where Nicky Sullivan, who later became Holly's rhythm guitarist, first heard him play.
We used to go at the skating rink and watch him perform, or if he were performing in a live show, say at an opening of a car dealership and things like that. That's how we were getting hooked into music, because all we had to listen to in those days was the big band music, and being in West Texas, mostly country and western.
Charles Hardin Buddy Holly got his start in the music business singing country and western songs. A Decca Records talent scout caught his act at the skating rink one day and signed him to a limited recording contract. In a Nashville studio, Buddy was given three chances to sell record executives on his music, but they weren't too crazy about his blend of rockabilly tunes with more traditional country ballads. Holly had especially high hopes for a song that he and his drummer pal Jerry Allison had written, based on a line from the 1956 John Wayne film, The Searchers.
Maybe Lucy's dead. Maybe they're both dead. But if I hear that from you again, I'll fight you, Mr. Edwards.
That'll be the day.
Jerry Allison recalls being really nervous recording under the strict rules of famous Nashville producer Owen Bradley. He says it contrasted greatly with the laid-back attitude of Norman Petty, who'd recorded some demo tracks for them in a small studio he ran in Clovis, New Mexico.
We were real tensed up being in the studio in Nashville. Then when we got to Petty's, I mean, we were sort of paying for the studio time ourselves. It was just a whole lot more fun doing it that way. And, you know, we decided how we were going to do it, and it was a lot more relaxed and fun when we were in charge.
After the tense sessions in Nashville, the musicians decided to record exclusively with Petty, and the results of that relaxed atmosphere were immediately evident.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die.
In between short tours around the region, the Crickets spent most of their time at Petty's studio. They worked long hours, sometimes sleeping there overnight rather than make the 100-mile trek back to Lubbock. Nicky Sullivan says Petty was a perfectionist in spite of imperfect conditions.
And when you hear those recordings, you're hearing one of the cleanest, crispest sound ever. And it's amazing that he did it in Clovis, New Mexico, next to a highway that frequently we were interrupted by trucks passing because of rattling windows.
That'll be the day.
It was during one of those sessions in the summer of 1957 that Buddy Holly, bassist Joe Malden, rhythm guitarist Nicky Sullivan, and drummer Jerry Allison began to work out one of their biggest hits.
Buddy had a song started called Cindy Lou. I think he had a niece named Cindy Lou or Cindy, but it was sort of like Cindy, oh Cindy, Cindy, don't let me down. That Harry Belafonte kind of feel. Cindy Lou, Cindy Lou, oh how my heart yearns for you, oh Cindy.
Nicky Sullivan says Petty was not impressed.
Norman says, well, that cha-cha beat isn't going to work. So you're going to have to do something else. And that's when Buddy said, Jerry, why don't you try paradiddles? It'll give us a 4-4 beat. We'll speed it up a little bit.
A paradiddle is a basic practice pattern for a drummer. It involves rapid strokes, which create a rolling sound. Jerry Allison agreed to the modified rhythm and suggested one more change.
I had a girlfriend at the time named Peggy Sue, so I talked to him into changing to Peggy Sue, and then we finished it with a different feel, you know, like a straight eights kind of.
And the result creates a relentless rhythm that keeps rolling at the listener. Petty accentuated that effect by playing with the reverb.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue without Peggy.
They kind of used the studio in the 50s the way people like the Beatles started to use it in the 60s, which was a sort of combination laboratory and playground, you know?
Guitarist Marshall Crenshaw, who was 4 years old when he first heard Buddy Holly, says he was hooked by the energy in the music.
There's a real sense of joy in almost everything that he ever recorded, and everything about those records appealed to me when I was a kid. The way he played the guitar, you know, he'd just make the whole thing ring, you know, and it just sounded very celebratory and just made me really happy and excited.
But for all the guitar technique, all the percussive experiments, and Holly's unique hiccup style of singing, Jerry Allison says there really wasn't any master plan to be on the cutting edge of anything.
Nah, we didn't. We just hoped somebody would buy a record so we could go on the road and play.
And when they took Peggy Sue on the road, Sullivan says the reaction was electrifying.
We were in Idaho. Of all places to break a song was in Idaho. Those kids jumped up and went crazy with Peggy Sue. And we don't still know, I mean, the ones of us remaining still wouldn't be able to tell you if it was the song or it was the combination of songs or kids just needed an outlet. But whatever it did, it worked.
And not because of the lyrics.
When you listen to that song, tell me what in the world, why anybody would buy a song with those lyrics. But it's the interpretation that comes across and that driving rock and... it just bites you, you know?
I love you, Peggy Sue, with a love so rare and true. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Well, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue. Well, I love you, gal, and I want you.
Since its release more than 40 years ago, the song has sold over 5 million copies. But Buddy Holly had no idea just how long the music that he helped create would last, and it seems he didn't really think it should, as revealed in this 1957 interview with Canadian disc jockey Red Robinson.
What do you think about rock and roll music? How long do you think it will last? Another 6 months, 7 months?
Possibly, yeah.
I think after Christmas things may change a bit, though.
It might pick back up, but I rather doubt it. I'd prefer singing a little bit, something a little more quieter in the end.
For NPR News, I'm David C. Barnett.
Well, I love you, gal, and I want you.